gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is written, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. It is written, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. It is written, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
For God is just a prayer away.
And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you or evil of victory win? There's power in the blood. Now would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's power in the blood. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's power in the blood. Now would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood. And would you live daily his praises to sing? There's power in the blood. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message. And the Lord said unto Moses. In that statement, and the Lord said unto Moses, we have one of the greatest proofs that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Moses said, and the Lord said unto him. If Moses was mistaken, or at best confused, we are faced with the most unbelievable fact. The greatest system of morals the world has ever known, the Ten Commandments, was given unto us by accident. He not only said it once, but in the story of the ten plagues that were given to the Egyptians, he repeated the statement 10 times, and the Lord said unto Moses. Now here are the 10 plagues that fell on the land of Egypt before Pharaoh could be persuaded to let Israel go. The first plague was the turning of the water into blood. And the Lord said unto Moses, God told Moses to apply his rod to the river and streams, and they would become blood. We must note here that the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage of Pharaoh is not without blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. They did not know it then, but we know it now that the Nile River is 3,300 miles long. It is the longest river in the world. If God is going to change a river into blood, he picked the biggest one to show his mighty power. The river turned into blood, and the fish died. God sometimes uses the same weapon more than once in his warfare with the devil. Revelation 16 tells us, an angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and fountains of the waters, and they became blood. Pharaoh had blooded the waters when he commanded the Israelites to cast out every son into the river. We too have bloodied the waters like Pharaoh as a nation in the killing of multiplied millions of infants, while Pharaoh only killed a few thousand at most. We have outdone Pharaoh, and now we are drinking blood. Look at the violence on the street and the drugs. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart was hardened and would not let the people go, so the next plague was the plague of frogs. Moses told Aaron to stretch forth his hand over the streams of Egypt, and frogs came up and infested the land. God could have sent a plague of lions and tigers, but frogs are all that he needed for Pharaoh. There is an incident in Revelation 16 that fits in here. John said, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Again, we notice that if false doctrine is like unclean frogs, we must have a lot of frog theology today, which is a good way to look at any doctrine that contradicts the Bible, the Word of God. Pharaoh begged Moses to get rid of the frogs. Moses said, When? Pharaoh said, Tomorrow. Many today are like Pharaoh. They want to postpone salvation. At what time do you want to obey the Lord and be forgiven? I think I will postpone salvation in heaven. Pharaoh said, Give me one more night with the frogs. Give me one more night with the devil. Give me one more night with the bottle. Give me one more night, a little more time with my sin. And he said, Tomorrow. Tomorrow, he promised his conscience. Tomorrow, I mean to believe. Tomorrow, I'll think as I ought to think, and tomorrow, my Savior receive. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Thus, day after day, it went on. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Till youth like a vision was gone. Till age and his passions had written this message of fate on his brow. And forth from the shadows came death, with a piteous syllable, Now. And he said, Tomorrow. And the Lord said unto Moses, The third plague is the plague of lice. God told Aaron to stretch out his rod and smite the dust, and it would become lice. Pharaoh told his magicians to see if they could scare up a few more lice like Aaron. His magician said, We can't do it. We are lousy enough already. And besides, this is the finger of God. There were similar magicians mentioned by Paul in 2 Timothy. Even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also withstand the truth. Men corrupted in mind, reprobate concerning the faith. The false prophets are still with us today. This was the miracle that could not be imitated. The devil imitated God in many areas, but only the finger of God could bring a living thing out of dust. If he could make a man out of dust, making lice out of dust was a minor problem. False doctrine may look good, but there's no life in it. The devil gives man an imitation Bible. Any book purporting to be a revelation of God except the Bible is an imitation. Unsuspecting Christians are prone to say, But there's good in all religions. When the devil hears this, he says, Gotcha! And the Lord said unto Moses. Plague number 4 regarding the flies is also mentioned in Psalm 78. He sent different sorts of flies among them, which devoured them. They could have wallpapered their homes with flypaper, and it would have done no good. There are different kinds of flies. Some think that maggots are included in this plague. This time Pharaoh relented a little, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." Pharaoh was trying to compromise. He said they could sacrifice in the land. God had told Moses, in the 3rd chapter of Exodus, to go 3 days into the wilderness and sacrifice unto the Lord. This is always the ploy of the devil. It is all right to be religious, but don't go too far. Don't go too far into the Bible. Don't get too deeply involved in prayer. Stay here in the land. Don't get too far from Egypt. Avoid extremes. Don't be a fanatic. Don't carry this thing too far. Take the Lord's Supper if you wish, but stay close to Egypt. Don't go into the wilderness on the Lord's Day, and save Sunday for Egyptian activities. And the Lord said unto Moses. And the plague number 5 was a significant plague, because the cattle became sick and died, and the animals were gods to the Egyptians. Exodus 12 records, while the people thought Moses delayed on Mount Sinai, they told Aaron, "Make us gods to go before us." Aaron said, "Break off your golden earrings, which are in the ears of your sons and daughters, and bring them to me." And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." In verse 25, when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made themselves naked unto their shame among their enemies. Apis the bull was one of the chief gods of the Egyptians, among many others. It is difficult to miss the coincidence in modern American life, as people called stars perform almost naked on television. And what about the connection with Aaron and his worship of a calf in the worship of sports today? If Aaron and his golden bull were alive today, he would understand when most of the sports teams are named after animals: bears, tigers, lions, wolves, wildcats, razorbacks, eagles, hawks, dogs, longhorns. And the Lord said unto Moses. And now the 6th plague is boils. Most church members don't have to be a doctor to understand that boils are the result of corruption inside the human body. If God worked the same in this dispensation of grace as he did then, it seems that many Americans could come down with a bad case of boils on the basis of the corruption within. The Apostle Paul addressed the boil problem when he gave a lengthy description of the sins that begin from the inside of the individual, as he writes in Galatians chapter 6. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, heresies, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that such as practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then in 2 Timothy, the apostle continues with even more when he added to the list of Galatians. But know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From these also turn away. And the Lord said unto Moses, and now plague number 7 is hail and fire. Again Pharaoh promised to let the people go, and again his heart hardened, and he refused. I knew a preacher many years ago who told me he kept a list of all the people who promised him on their deathbed to serve the Lord if he gave them deliverance. And he said that of all the people who made that promise and then got well, he only knew of 2 who kept their word. Like Pharaoh, their hearts were hardened. It is easy to offer a sick body unto the Lord, but few are willing to offer a well body. Lord, this sick body is of no more use to me. It's not good for anything else, so you can have it. Pharaoh said, I have sinned 2, and he did not mean it. Balaam said, I have sinned, and he did not mean it. King Saul said, I have sinned 3, and he did not mean it. Judas said, I have sinned, and he did not mean it. David said, I have sinned 3, and he meant it. Job said, I have sinned, and meant it. The prodigal son said, I have sinned, and he meant it. Achan said, I have sinned. I don't know whether he meant it or not. 13 in the Bible, somebody said, I have sinned. And more than half the time, they did not mean it. I wonder if our record is any better today. And the Lord said unto Moses, plague number 8 is the plague of locusts, and seems to have a demonic connotation. In Revelation 9, we read of locusts that came out of the bottomless pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Here again is the effort of Pharaoh to compromise. And Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron. They were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? Moses declared, Exodus 10:9, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go. Pharaoh told Moses and Aaron, not so. Go now, you that are men, and serve the Lord. But there is more to this than this small excursion. In Joshua the 8, after they crossed over the river into the promised land, Joshua continued the same message of Moses, not only before men, but before the women and before all the young that were conversant with the message. And then the message of the New Testament gospel to all the saints will continue on into Matthew 24. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony unto all the nations. And then shall the end come. And the Lord said unto Moses, the 9th plague was one of the worst of all so far. God told Moses to stretch out his hand over Egypt, and darkness fell on the land. How dark did it get? It must have been like the darkness of eternity without God. Jude speaks of those for whom the darkness and blackness has been reserved forever. Someone told me of a person who said that if they went to hell, they would have plenty of company there. What difference does it make how much company you have if you won't see anybody anyway in that place of Stygian blackness? The darkness was not announced to Pharaoh. It came as a surprise. This reminds us of the second coming of Christ. It will not be announced on the 11 o'clock news. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and there he is. Those today not in Christ are in the dark. Paul told the Colossians that God translated us from the darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The children of Israel had light in their dwellings. That sounds like the Lord's church. The world lives in moral darkness. The prophet speaks of this day and time when he said in Isaiah 5, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that call darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. However, we in the Lord's church have light in our dwellings. When we face a serious blackness and sickness, we have light in our dwelling. When we as Christians face death, we have light in our dwellings. And the Lord said unto Moses." Now the 10th plague was the slaying of the firstborn of every family in Egypt who were Egyptians. This plague was the only plague of the 10 that was not announced to Pharaoh by Moses and Aaron. It came suddenly at midnight without warning. The Egyptians felt safe in the dark. The Israelites had nothing to do with it. It was an act of God. Pharaoh had slain the male children of the children of Israel, and now judgment day had come. God said that he would go out over the land of Egypt about midnight and slay the firstborn of every family in Egypt. Instructions about the slaying of the Passover lamb were given. The blood was to be applied to the two side posts and the upper door post of every home among the Israelites. The Lord said, "The blood shall be a token upon the house where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you." Now it is important to notice that the blood must be applied in the proper manner. The blood must be on the two side posts and upper door post. Take a good look at the blood. See the blood from his hands, his feet, his head, his back, but notice in particular the blood from his riven side. Look at that blood with the full knowledge that this is the last blood that will be shed for our salvation. Paul says in Hebrews 9, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." In the New Testament is the application of the blood of our Passover lamb. Paul said in Romans, the 6th chapter, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." The blood is applied where the blood was shed. The blood was shed at his death. We are baptized into his death. We are buried with him. Our immersion into Christ is the divinely appointed way to go to the cross and contact the blood of the Passover lamb. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the Lord said unto Moses. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45, 142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Until next week at this same time, tell somebody somehow in some way that God is just a prayer away.
God is just a prayer.